Greetings, this is Agent K coming to you live from GangstersOut.com. Today we're going to talk about Operation Fast and Furious. We're going to focus on this significant operation, what it is, what it means, what it was, and we're going to spin it with little Men in Black 3 featuring Pitbull this summer. To understand the future, we've got to go back in time. We're going to relate this operation to some similar operations before and show that this isn't just a one-time thing. But right now, let's focus on Operation Fast and Furious. Made big news not long ago in the States. We haven't heard too much of it recently in Canada. This is where senior government agencies were caught red-handed selling guns to the Mexican cartel. And it made big news in the States because a U.S. border agent, Brian Terry, was killed with one of the guns that the government agencies had sold the Mexican cartel. And understandably so, that created a big outrage in the United States that a U.S. border guard was killed with a gun that government agencies sold the Mexican cartel. So that's why it made big news. And it's still going on, the trial. It's like a Watergate. Eric Holder is Obama's Oliver North in this case. And the Republicans are kind of drooling at the bit and chomping at the bit and drooling over the chance to blame Obama for this. And, oh, yes, we're going to get rid of Obama because of this. And, you know, it's pretty ridiculous. Because in the year 2009 to 2011 was Operation Fast and Furious. And, yes, it's bad. Very bad. And it documents what's been happening, you know, over and over again in other places. But yes, that was under Obama's administration. But we'd only have to look back to 2006. 2006 to 2007, the same players that were involved with Operation Fast and Furious were involved with Operation Wide Receiver. Okay, so in 2006, 2007, Operation Wide Receiver, under the Bush administration, they were doing the same thing. Government agencies were selling guns to the Mexican cartel. So to say that this is a re-election campaign for a reincarnation of a Bush administration to get rid of Obama is absurd. Okay, but nevertheless, it is serious, and Obama's connections to it are concerning, just like the Bush administration's connections to it were concerning. So to play party politics and blindly follow one and blindly endorse the other is absurd. Okay, so what we need to do is we also need to remember how they were paying for the guns. Same historically. Arms dealing, drug smuggling, money laundering. How do they pay for the guns? How do they pay for the arms? They pay for it with cocaine, with drugs. And that's exactly what was happening in Operation Fast and Furious. From 2009 to 2011, as well as Operation Wide Receiver under the Bush administration, 2006-2007, just to be fair, not to be partisan with party politics, but they were selling the Mexican cartel's guns, and they were accepting payment in the form of cocaine. And the Operation Fast and Furious made big news in the United States because a U.S. border agent was killed with those guns, and that's understandable. But the fact that they were paying for the guns with cocaine wasn't really as emphasized in the news. In fact, in Operation Fast and Furious, it's clearly pointed out that they were bringing tons, plural, tons of cocaine into the United States in payment for those arms. So selling the Mexican cartel guns, yeah, that's a serious concern when we see the horrific amount of violence that's going on there. To have government agencies contribute to that violence is greatly concerning. As concerning is the fact that they're bringing tons of cocaine, more than one, tons of cocaine into the United States, the drug trafficking, that's a serious concern. So this isn't a conspiracy theory. This is documented. This happened. And right now, the Watergate trials are continuing. And like I said, Eric Holder, the AG, Obama's AG, is being tight-lipped. He's not revealing anything. He's, you know, trying to be found in contempt. And he's the Oliver North. For Iran-Contra, he's the Oliver North for Operation Fast and Furious. But now, I'm the first one to jump for joy to see a brother in office. But my concerns with Eric Holder is his long time association with Bill Clinton. He served with Bill Clinton for years. And as we found out historically, Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas when George Bush Sr. was president of the United States, when the CIA, through Barry Seal and other operatives, were bringing in airplane loads of cocaine into Mena, Arkansas. Bill Clinton was directly involved in the drug smuggling and the money laundering through Barry Seal and other operatives. So, once again, it's not Republican versus Democrat. You know, this can affect both parties, and this is why we have to, you know, take our head out from between our legs and take a look at what's happening, because this is really serious, and we can't, you know, be sheep blindly following one or blindly following the other. We have to look at how serious this is and how it can affect, you know, public peace, public safety, as well as our sovereignty. Okay, so looking at Mena, Arkansas, the reason I bring that is kind of like this. The spin from Pitbull's new song for Men in Black 3 coming out this summer. To understand the future, we have to go back in time. So to understand, you know, Fast and Furious, what it is and how concerning that this is continuing. I don't believe it's going to end with this congressional hearing or this Watergate trial for Eric Holder. To understand the future, we have to go back in time. Let's look at Mena, Arkansas first. First stop on our time machine is Mena, Arkansas. Now, there was a famous journalist, Sarah McClendon, and she's passed away now, but she was very famous for asking presidents hard-hitting questions at press conferences and press scrums. And on YouTube, you can see a video of her asking Bill Clinton a pointed question about Mena, Arkansas. And she asked him if the Bush administration had told her that the CIA were bringing in cocaine into Mena, Arkansas in exchange for arms for Nicaragua, for the Contra rebels, as part of an extended version of Contra. So and you can see in the interview, she's a credible journalist. She's asking Bill Clinton, did the Bush administration tell you about this? Because we all know this has happened. We all know that the CIA brought in cocaine into Mena, Arkansas, and in exchange for arms for the Nicaragua Contra rebels. So we all know this happened. But her question was, did the Bush administration tell Bill Clinton about it because they're trying to blame him? And he, of course, he said, no, they didn't tell me anything about that. So he doesn't deny that it was existing. He just denied that his knowledge of it, which is, when you look at the facts, was absolutely absurd. But the key thing to remember is that George Bush Sr. was president at the time. You know, I used to think George Bush Sr. was a good guy, and George Bush Jr. was just an idiot who couldn't fill his father's shoes. But now that I've done some research, you know, George Bush Sr. was not a good guy. George Bush Sr. was a very, very bad guy. And it's really concerning how bad he was and what he did and what he was involved with. And so it's important to look at these things. So anyways, Mena, Arkansas, not a conspiracy theory. Sarah McClendon. You know, Google her interview on YouTube, check out her interview with Bill Clinton. Comes out, asks the question directly, doesn't really get a worthwhile answer, but in her question she says, you know, we all know that the CIA were doing this and it's illegal. You know, did you know about it? You know, and so she points out that this was happening, that everyone knows about it. Now, there's another book called Compromised, Clinton, Bush, and the CIA by Terry Reid and John Cummings. Now, back in the days of Gary Webb, you know, he came out with his series The Dark Alliance, and he claimed that the CIA were responsible for the crack epidemic in L.A. in the 80s. And people were outraged. They had a public hearing. The director from the CIA came to kind of spin and answer concerns. Mike Rupert, a former LAPD officer, stepped to the mic and told the director, he said, I can tell you that the agency has been dealing drugs in this country for years. They've approached me, and I've been trying to get this information out for years. So everyone was outraged, a former LAPD officer saying that the agency has been selling drugs in the country for years. Now, when he says the agency, he's referring to the CIA. They call the CIA the agency. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, you can't talk about the CIA. That's like UFOs or crazy conspiracies. Well, actually, the CIA has been in the news a fair bit lately. You know, they talk a lot about in the news about the CIA black prison sites where they torture people. You know, we hear a lot about that now. You know, and we hear that the CIA gave some information about a Canadian who was accused of being a terrorist and was arrested and convicted. And now we find out that the CIA, not only did they torture him, but they gave the Canadians wrong information about him. And one of the CIA agents who was interrogating him has since written a book about him, saying that he was innocent. The CIA said he's just denying it, proves his guilt, and they tortured him, and they were wrong. So anyways, that's a whole other issue of torture and civil rights, the Constitution, you know, that's a whole separate issue. But what we want to look at right now is the drug trafficking. So this book, Compromised, Clinton, Bush, and the CIA by Terry Reid and John Cummings, it documents everything, just like Gary Webb. When they called him crazy, he lost his job. There was all this opposition against him. So what did he do? He documented everything in a book. And if you look at Gary Webb's book, Dark Alliance, this is an investigative journalist. He documents everything, names, dates, places. Very factual, very, very well done. Well, this book, Compromised, same thing. Very factual, names, dates, places. Terry Reid was a CIA operative. He was very close to Oliver North, who, as we know, the Iran-Contra wasn't just involving Iran. It involved everything that came in and out of Nicaragua. You know, they were selling arms to Iran, not just to release hostages. They were selling arms to Iran to make money to fund the Contra rebels. And they were doing a lot of other things to make money to fund the Contra rebels. Okay, so Terry Reid's book, Compromised, documents it all. If you want to know about George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton's involvement in MENA, Arkansas, and the CIA's drug smuggling organization, read the book. Google it. There's a lot of information on there. Okay, so Operation Fast and Furious, we only have to look to MENA, Arkansas, and we see it all documented. Now, on the subject of MENA, Arkansas, there's just one more source I'm going to cite. We talked about Sarah McLennan. We talked about Terry Reid. Let's also reference Chip Tatum. Chip Tatum was a CIA asset. He was a pilot. He worked with Barry Seal. He was flying, quote-unquote, medical supplies from Nicaragua to MENA, Arkansas. And Chip Tatum had heard one time that another CIA pilot was given a package that turned out to be a bomb, and it exploded en route and killed him. So ever since then, Chip Tatum kind of broke the unspoken rule of don't open the products. You're just, you know, sending. You're just a delivery person. You're sending these packages. You don't open it. That's private. Well, he broke that rule and he opened it up because he didn't want. As soon as he heard that one of these CIA pilots got a bomb and blew up on flight, he started opening up the packages to see what he was delivering to make sure it wasn't a bomb. So, anyways. You can see on YouTube, Chip Tatum has been interviewed by a U.S. senator who has now since passed away, and he's talking about how he opened up some crates that were marked medical supplies from Nicaragua to MENA, Arkansas. And when he opened them up, he saw that they were cocaine. And when he got to MENA, Arkansas, and he delivered them, Governor Bill Clinton came and shook his hand and thanked him for delivering those medical supplies. Now, just because he thanked him for delivering the medical supplies doesn't mean that Bill Clinton knew that they weren't really medical supplies, they were cocaine, but it proves that Bill Clinton was aware of the shipment of what was going on. And, I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure, okay, medical supplies. I don't think Nicaragua is very well known for making medical supplies. You'd think that they'd be sending medical supplies from the United States to Nicaragua, not the other way around, which makes the whole concept of them bringing medical supplies from Nicaragua to MENA, Arkansas, as suspicious in the first place. But the point is, Chip Tatum, on record, on YouTube, interviewed in person, claiming that he was a pilot for the CIA and he did in fact bring in cocaine into Indamene, Arkansas, and he was under the impression that Bill Clinton was perfectly aware of what was going on. I mean, when you look at the book Compromised, it goes into details about the money laundering that the Rose Law Firm and Bill Clinton, Hillary was involved. It goes into detail and it chronologizes everything. Bill Clinton was involved with BCCI. It was a bank that was tied to the CIA, and it collapsed because of arms dealing, drug smuggling, and money laundering. And the third thing that's always tied to that is investment fraud. You know, whenever they're money laundering, you'd think that, you know, when you do business, that I want to do business in a company that's laundering money because we know that it's going to succeed, or I want to invest in a stock that's laundering drug money because I know it's going to succeed. And Catherine Austin Fitz talks about the tapeworm economy, where really that's a fallacy, and clearly it is. It's because historically what we see is that people who, you know, smuggle drugs and launder money are dishonest and greedy. Whenever they launder the money, they keep wanting a higher return on their money, and they always tie it to investment fraud, which ultimately crashes banks. And we saw the Bush family was very much involved with fake Texas oil wells that they would pump up and get a loan from the bank, rip people off, overstate its value, and it would crash. They would take the money and run, and they would default on the loan. So it was a double dip. They'd rip the people off, the investors, and they'd rip the bank off that they got the loan from, and then they would bail the bank out with tax dollars. And Al Martin, in his book, The Conspirators, he documents it. He claims that Jeb Bush instructed him to commit investment fraud to fundraise for Iran-Contra. So the drug smuggling and investment fraud, although that's a separate issue, really it's not. Quite often it's very closely tied together. In fact, there was another bank in Australia tied to the CIA's arms dealing, drug smuggling, money laundering, and it collapsed as well. So this concerns us when we see the CIA involved in fundraising for covert operations, dealing drugs and laundering money and committing investment fraud. That concerns us because it crashes banks and it crashes stocks, which affects our pensions. So these are serious concerns for us as citizens because it affects the market. And we need to examine this pattern that keeps repeating itself, because we only have to look as far as Greece. You know, we hear a lot about the Greek financial crisis, but we don't hear a lot about the fact that it was based on investment fraud. You know, what was public money became private, and then it disappeared. And they said that Madoffs were springing up everywhere. They were committing investment fraud, and it was deregulated, opened the floodgates open for investment fraud, and they were ripping people off. And the fact that Goldman and Sachs were directly involved in hiding, you know, the Greek debt and the scams that were going on there is a huge concern, because when we see, you know, high-ranking officials from Goldman and Sachs in high government positions in the United States, that's a huge concern. That is a huge concern. Okay, so let's try it. We'll lay the investment side aside, but we're focusing on the drug smuggling. And I just wanted to cite those three references for MENA, Arkansas. We've got Sarah McLennan, we've got Terry Reed, and we've got Chip Tatum. Chip Tatum, all witnesses saying that, yes, MENA, Arkansas was a hub for CIA drug smuggling, money laundering, and it was tied to high levels of government, both the Clinton administration and the Bush administration's plural. And that's important to recognize, because Operation Fast and Furious wasn't the first time happened to MENA, Arkansas. But it also happened before that. Now, this interview that Bogritz did discussing what happened when he went looking for POWs can be found if you go on YouTube and you look for Morton Downey Jr., famous talk show host in the United States. Bull Gritz was on Morton Downing Jr., and he did an expose of what he found. And they claimed that at the time that Uncle Sam was dealing drugs. And what happened was when he went in to look for the POWs, they said they didn't have any. And while he was there, he said, okay, you know, you're well known for heroin smuggling. And while we're here, you know, we can't help but ask you, you know, why are you poisoning our people? Why are you sending all this drugs to our country? Because you're poisoning our people. And the person he was talking to was quite surprised and said, you know, the U.S. government is my best customers. And Bull Gritz was shocked. You know, he was completely shocked. He says, the U.S. government. And then he proceeded to name names. There's actually two interviews on YouTube. One, the Maury Povich interview, it cuts short right before he names names, and then the second interview starts later on, and then it names the names, and it ties George Bush Sr. and other officials to the drug smuggling. But what Bull Gritz heard was a proposal, and this person said, you know, I really don't want to smuggle heroin forever because I want to be recognized as a legitimate country in the world and do trade with other countries, and I know I can't do that while I'm our main, you know, source of income is heroin. So we would like help from the United States to wean us off, you know, heroin as a crop and develop alternate crops that we can, viable crops that we can grow and use so that we can have a real economy and we can be recognized as a real country. So Bull Gritz thought, you know, this is a great idea. We stop all this poison coming in, we help this country, you know, get on its feet, and two birds with one stone. And he comes back to the United States and he tells the government officials, and they tell Bo, they say, we have no interest in that. And once again, Bo Gritz was shocked. He says, what are you talking about? You're not interested in this. And he says, we're not interested in this. And in fact, if you tell anybody about this, we will bury you. You know, nobody likes to hurt a war hero. But if you do this, we will bury you. And Bull Gritz was shocked, and being a man of integrity and determination, he did, you know, go on Maury Povich and tell people, and he wrote about it in his book. And he did experience opposition, but unfortunately he didn't experience as much opposition as Gary Webb did. You know, Bull Gritz obviously survived to tell the tale. And there is a letter that Bull Gritz wrote documenting everything to George Bush Sr. and asking, you know, how can we be so complacent? You know, there's two ways of looking at it. One implies, okay, maybe the CIA were just complacent. They just kind of looked the other way. And the other attitude is the CIA were using these shell companies to traffic drugs to fundraise for operations. And that's clearly what happened. So anyways, giving him the benefit of the doubt, Bull Gritz wrote a letter to George Bush Sr. Saying, how can we be complacent in this drug trafficking? And so obviously it was made known to him then, and it continued. Now there's another book. This other book is called The Politics of Heroin, CIA Complacency in the Global Drug Trade. Now this book is written by a Yale graduate who was part of his doctorates or whatever. His name is Alfred McCoy. Once again, it's a very well-documented book, but this goes from a different time period. This goes from before World War II up to and including Vietnam, and it talks about how the CIA was directly involved in trafficking heroin from before World War II right up to the CIA, right up to Vietnam. So here we have Bull Gritz's claims backed by another book, a Yale University professor. And once again, it was published in 1972. It was very well documented. It was as part of his PhD at Yale. So this is all important. You know, we talk about, we joke about the reference, the Men in Black 3 with Pitbull. He's got the new song, to understand the future, we have to go back in time. Okay, to understand Operation Fast and Furious, we have to go back in time to Mena, Arkansas, when Bill Clinton was governor and George Bush Sr. was president. And then we have to go back in time to Vietnam, when George Bush Sr. was involved with the CIA, and they were smuggling the heroin at the time. So it's really important to realize that this Operation Fast and Furious isn't something new. They did it in MENA, they did it in Vietnam, and it shows a direct correlation between the CIA trafficking in narcotics. This is a pattern that's repeated itself for a very, very long time. Now there's two questions that we need to ask now that we've established this. If the CIA are capable of drug trafficking for all those years, what else are they capable of? And if the CIA are capable of lying about drug trafficking for all those years, what else are they capable of lying about? You know, I talked to a friend who gave me some of these books, and I talked, the discouraging thing is that, you know, all these facts are nice to know, but it's really meaningless because there's nothing that we can do about it. You know, the CIA has no public accountability whatsoever. You know, after the Kennedy assassination, the CIA were accused of corruption. So what do? Alan Dulles. Okay, great. One of the prime suspects was appointed to the Warren Commission to investigate the CIA. And the CIA were cleared. You know, no, they're not corrupt. They're good. They had corrupt people investigate them. You know, so it's rather absurd. But another absurdity is in Terry Reid's book, Compromised. He talks about, he names names. He talks about all the CIA front companies, the shell companies. And he talked about one CIA shell company called Air America. And it was a CIA shell company that they used to smuggle heroin out of Vietnam. And the bizarre thing is that they made a movie out of it. Mel Gibson and Robert Downey Jr. played in a movie called Air America. It was a comedy. It was a comedy about the CIA smuggling heroin during the Vietnam War. And the tragedy is it was based on a true story. And it's done as a comedy. And maybe that's the funny part. Maybe not. Maybe that's the tragic part. But anyways, there's a lot of documentation. Terry Reid, once again, he confirmed the allegations of Bo Gritz that the CIA were trafficking heroin in Vietnam. And Terry Reid's claim that Air America was a CIA front company that they were doing it with. So, going back in time, Vietnam, George Bush Sr. was tied to the CIA. They were smuggling heroin. MENA, Arkansas, Bill Clinton, George Bush Sr., they were tied to the CIA. They were smuggling in cocaine from Nicaragua. And Operation Fast and Furious, 2009, tied to the Obama administration. We see them doing the epitome of absurdity, selling guns to the Mexican cartel and bringing tons of cocaine into the United States. Now, our concern with Obama isn't the fact that he wants affordable health care. You know, we thought Obama was, he's a great speaker. You know, he's great, you know. But our concern with Obama isn't the fact that he wants affordable medical. Affordable medical is a good thing. Our concern with Obama is the fact that he doesn't want to, he hasn't closed Guantanamo Bay. In Afghanistan since the Allied invasion and the flip over from the Central Gas Pipeline is now not given to an Argentina firm but to an American firm. Now that after the invasion in Afghanistan, the heroin production, which the Taliban almost completely had to stop, is now record-breaking every year. It's record-breaking. So now that the Allies have gone into Afghanistan, the Taliban almost completely stopped the heroin production. Now that the Allies went in, the heroin production in Afghanistan is off the charts. So this is really concerning. It concerns all of us when we're trying to get the drugs off the street. You know, we talked about before, you know, someone wrote in and talked about David Suzuki, and he said, you know, we need to think globally and act locally. We need to act locally and get the crack dealers off the street, but we need to think globally of where this stuff's coming from and who we should save intel with. If we have intel about a drug bust, there's certainly some people we shouldn't share it with. You know, any RCMP agency that still uses the Promise software that they bought from the CIA, which was a Trojan horse, which gave the CIA access to all our confidential files, anyone in the Canadian government still using the Promise software is a security risk. And we need to look at that because it's important. So again, our concerns with Obama isn't the fact that he wants public affordable medical. Our concern with Obama is that he wants to he hasn't closed Guantanamo Bay, you know, and the torture sites still exist, and the heroin production in Afghanistan is still increasing. And our ultimate concern with Obama is the fact that who paid for his education? You know, his education was paid for by the CIA. You know, Alex Jones has some, and not just Alex Jones, other equally, if not more, credible sources talk about Obama's involvement with the CIA in the past. So this is concerning. You know, we're also concerned about Mitt Romney. You know, Mitt Romney is tied to Barrick Gold. I'll admit that Mitt Romney was a million times better choice than Sarah Palin and Donald Trump. Those two were dumb and dumber. But when I see Mitt Romney sing George Bush and Paul Henry's praises, you know, that's ridiculous. George Bush, you know, put the United States trillions in debt. The unlawful invasion of Iraq based on a lie, the privatization of military, war profiteering through Halliburton, insider deals. It's revolting. You know, his abandonment of the U.S. Constitution is shocking. His violation of the oath of office by vetoing a bill to stop torture. Shocking. And Paul Henry, tied to Goldman Sachs. You know, these big bankers who are ripping people off in Greece. And, you know, bank collapses due to arms dealing, money laundering, and investment fraud. Singing those people praises is a real concern when I hear that coming from Mitt Romney. So it's kind of like Jesse Ventura said, you know, what do you think about the two-party system in the United States? He says, well, I love it. You know, it's kind of like being asked what you want to drink, you know, Coke or Pepsi. Well, Coke or Pepsi are a little bit different, but they're both soft drinks. They both kind of taste the same, actually. They're not really much different. And we see Bill Clinton and George Bush and even, oh my God, Obama, tied to the CIA, who are directly dealing drugs and narcotics and arms to both sides of conflicts just to make money, then that's a huge concern that we need to address. So once again, Operation Fast and Furious was between 2000 and 2011 during the Obama administration, but the same people doing the same thing in 2006 to 2007 called Operation Wide Receiver. That was under the Bush administration. Okay, so both administrations selling guns to the Mexican cartels and bringing back cocaine in payment. That's shocking and unacceptable. Now, Alex Jones quoted a source, because now you're talking about Alex Jones, blah, blah, blah. You can say what you want about Alex Jones, but look at the source he's quoting. He's quoting two credible journalists from the Washington Times, Robert Feralgo and Ralph Dixon. And these two journalists cite their source, which is a CIA insider, and these two Washington Times journalists cite a source that claims that Operation Fast and Furious wasn't just high-ranking government agencies like the ATF. It was a CIA operation. And that brings us back to the other case. Back in August of 2011, in Columbus, it's in the United States, it's a border town with the Mexican border, the mayor and the police chief were caught selling arms to the Mexican cartel. Surprisingly enough, this was before Operation Fast and Furious hit the news. It was in August 2011. The mayor and the police chief of Columbus were caught selling arms to the Mexican cartel. And the absurd thing is that the FBI caught one of the city councilmen and confiscated the guns. Well, after they did this, the police chief had the audacity to contact the feds and saying, hey, can you give us the guns back? Now, one would think that if they were doing something illegal, that as soon as the feds got involved and caught one of the guys and seized the guns, that they'd like, okay, I'm out of here, and he'd you know, hit the road. But no, he had the audacity to ask the FBI for the guns back. Now, when I wrote about that in August 2011, I said, you know, why would the police chief ask the FBI for the guns back? Don't you think that maybe the police chief and the mayor, right or wrong, had the impression that their involvement was sanctioned by the CIA, and if sanctioned by the CIA, overruled the FBI? Because as far as I'm concerned, that's the only logical explanation why this police chief would ask for the guns back from the FBI. Now, when I posted that, you know, debunkers on my website are commenting and saying, that's crazy, conspiracy theory, you're smoking crack, that's crazy. Well, shortly thereafter, Operation Fast and Furious breaks, and we see that that wasn't such a crazy proposal at all. The CIA and the ATF were, in fact, selling, you know, arms to the Mexican cartel and bringing back cocaine in exchange. So it's quite possible that the mayor and police chief from Columbus were involved in this Operation Fast and Furious. So as we follow the Operation Fast and Furious scandal, as it continues to unfold, and as political opportunists try to spin it into a circus sideshow to tackle Obama specifically, we need to look through the smoke and mirrors, and we need to realize that the Bush administration, the same people were involved in 2006, 2007. And that's a huge concern because it contributes to the violence in the Mexican drug war, which is very concerning. So to understand Operation Fast and Furious, we have to go back. We have to look at Mena, Arkansas, the documentation there, because there's a huge amount of documentation, and the heroin in Vietnam. And if we look at the heroin in Vietnam, we have to look at the heroin in Afghanistan. So this is a huge concern. And this isn't just a conspiracy theory. This is something happening right now that we need to address as we think globally and act locally.